helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Braden Wheatcroft, and this is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm pumped. Today's guest is someone I've looked up to in this industry for a very long time. He's a guy that I know personally, both from working with him at RE/MAX, and I actually have the luxury of working with him with Richard Robbins International. Him and I are both coaches for that organization. Tony Joe is our guest today, and he's been working in the industry for a number of years. I'll let him tell you how long an experience he is. But one of the things, if you know Tony well, you know that he's got a passion for educating realtors. He's a trainer for all sorts of organizations, including the BCREA. He's doing post-licensing training up and down the island. He's a very busy guy. And in fact, I thought he was so busy that he'd only be able to fit one Facebook Live interview in today. Turns out he's already done one today. He's got a knack for being in the media. So with all that being said, please join me in welcoming Tony Joe. Tony.
Hey. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. And yes, I'm sorry. I didn't break it to you. I was with another man, Facebook Live.
You were with another man on Facebook Live, but he's in the lower mainland. So it feels okay.
It's Ray in Canada, right? I mean, who says no to Ray in Canada?
No kidding. I'm just waiting by my phone for him to call me.
I'll make sure that happens. I'll make it happen.
Well, Tony, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot on your plate, and we're covering something today that I think is very, very timely. If you've been following some of our previous episodes, we've talked a lot about the policy side of what's going on in our industry, both from a real estate council perspective, as well as what's going on with the provincial government. And what I wanted to do today is make this episode a bit of a pivot from talking just about politics and policy, but actually talking about how to build a successful real estate business. And you're the perfect guy to talk to because you actually do training, I believe for BCREA, on the topic of buyer's agency. Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, I was up in Nanaimo just last Thursday doing my exclusive buyer agency course. And I'm doing one in Victoria on May 31st as well, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a course that I devised a number of years back in 2012, actually. So it's been around for a while, and it is now a BCREA PDP 3-credit Category C course.
Wow, that's awesome. And in addition to all the things you're doing for the industry, you also do a lot in the community. Tell me, what were you doing along Easter weekend?
We had our 6th annual Easter celebration. So, you know, where you park the BMW at the Oak Bay Municipal Hall, there's a big park in the back there, right? So we've been having our, we get like, this year was about 1,000 kids. So it was 1,000 kids come out. Yeah. We had the Easter egg hunt. We have, face painting, crafts table, the balloon and magic guy. We have, the Bosley's, you know, new Bosley's across the street from the office there. They're handing out coupons for free dog washes and pictures with the Easter bunny. So I've been doing that, in conjunction with the Oak Bay Business Improvement Association for the past 6 years.
Oh, that's amazing. And that's just really the tip of the iceberg as far as the community work that you do. Tell us a little bit about the 30 for 30 campaign. And we're not talking the ESPN version. We're talking the Prime Real Estate Team version. Tell us about it.
Well, we're having a lot of fun. So we're day 4 right now. And for those who haven't done one yet, basically it's highlighting businesses in the community. So we've identified 30 businesses and we've created videos of each of those businesses. They're about 2.5 minutes. It's really a promotion. We have all the businesses providing prizes because, you know, we're promoting their business for them. And what's happening is we're going to make a draw at the end of the month for people who like and share all the videos. We're getting, so far it's about 1,000 views per video a day. So it's fun. We're having lots of fun. Actually, even today, because we're on day 4 right now, we've had 2 businesses call up saying, can we get in? Can we get in? So we might need to do another 30 and 30 one of these days.
Wow, that's amazing. That sounds like a lot of fun. And speaking of fun, buyer's agency, how about it? So I'm curious. I mean, I didn't mention this in your introduction, but you're a team leader. So, you know, you help people buy and sell real estate, both yourself personally, but also through working with other amazing agents on your team. How big is your team currently?
So two licensees, Angie and Kyle. Right. I've got the amazing Sonia Jones, who is like right beside you, right?
Yes.
Yes. She's our operations manager. She has an assistant as well, named Taylan. Yes. And I also have a fella by the name of Afraz, who's doing our, he's our ISA. So he's doing our lead conversion and nurturing and all that stuff. Plus my wife, Sue, who's also licensed, although her job really is more the business end of things, where she's taking care of, she's the CFO. She's the check writer.
Yeah. Right, right. And the butt kicker.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So basically it's three selling licenses.
Yeah. Wow. So that's, you know, for the average realtor watching this right now, who's likely an individual agent, or maybe they finally made that transition hiring an assistant. Like, when you look at your model, you've got a lot going on. I'm curious, when you saw these changes come down the pipe from the real estate council and the superintendent of real estate talking about, you know, the end of dual agency and all these changes, what was going through your mind as you were reading those briefings?
You know, honestly, I was not concerned, and I will tell you, I remain unconcerned right now. Now, mind you, we're also a team that limited dual agencies about 5% of our annual production, so it's not a big number. We do, and we have been doing no agency for a long time, so we do more customer no agency relationships. It will soon be unrepresented buyer, right? We do a lot more of that than we do limited dual agency. So it's not really a big deal on our end. I do believe that it's not necessarily a bad thing for consumers. Because I have always said, and anyone who's taken any of my post-licensing courses or the buyer agency ones too, know that I've always said that the limited dual agency is a, it was a tool meant to correct an imperfect agreement. And I think that it also has been bad for the industry over the years, because people use limited dual agency as a means to entice consumers to deal with them directly. And you know, are they getting the best service? Are they getting the representation that they need? I don't think so. So at the end of the day, I think it's a good thing for consumers. It doesn't scare the heck out of me. I have not disbanded my team. We are already well versed at dealing with no agent situations, although I'm not quite sure if we'll go that route. Jim McCock, and you were there when Jim presented. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he scared us enough that, you know, it's it may be a spooky thing. The biggest stress point for me is I handle all the resales in a life lease complex in Oak Bay for church, right? Mm-hmm. And I know most of the buyers, so when they were talking double recusal, of course, that was a touch point for me, right?
Yeah, for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, yeah. And that's off the table now, thankfully. But even still, I'm going to need to find a solution to deal with those, what would have been limited dual agency situations before. And actually, it's funny, because that's our 5%. Our 5% basically is the work that I do for the diocese here.
Right, right. Okay, well, you know, fair enough. And from a brokerage standpoint, I mean, RE/MAX Camosun, when we were running the numbers, I think it was like just a touch over 5% as far as dual agency deals, double lenders or things like that nature. So it's certainly an interesting time to be a team leader, that's for sure. And I'm curious, like, when you think about the impact just as an individual agent, because many of the people who are going to be watching this are working as an individual agent, I mean, what would you do to coach them along as far as making sure that they're toeing the line, but also not being as scared to leave their house and go and sell real estate?
I think the biggest thing is we need to have a really clear understanding of the difference between formalized agency and implied agency.
Mm-hmm. Because
as we all know, if you start providing advice, direction, information to a consumer that is befitting of a licensee, whether or not you have a signed agreement, you are providing implied agency to them. And this has been a gray area for many years. I mean, consumers themselves, let's face it, consumers don't care about agency.
Right.
Right.
What do they concern themselves with, do you think?
They either want to buy a house or they want to sell a house. That's all they want. They don't care about agency. agency was something that that has been developed to level the playing field for us, right? It's, as I say to people, it separates us from the animals, right? consumers don't care about agency at all. What they do care about is service, right?
Right.
And for licensees, I think one of the biggest changes that will come up is the fact that we need to conduct ourselves in a way that is more straightforward and transparent with consumers. Because let's face it, it's generally not transparent today, right? When you meet somebody at an open house and you start showing them properties, you know, you're doing the hopeful version, which is, if I spend enough time with these people, they will maybe buy a house for me, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have signed agency. You haven't had a conversation about agency. You probably haven't done working with a realtor, right? Through your actions, you are their realtor anyways. You are responsible and liable for all of the things that happen within a transaction there, right? But to make it work.
Go ahead.
To make it worse, I would say that consumers, that particular consumer that you're driving around in your car, they don't know. They don't understand the process. They don't understand the system. They don't understand. They have no idea who you are until you have that conversation, at the very least, with working with a realtor. All they know is you're a nice person and you're showing them houses.
Absolutely. Right? And one of the things you said there is really interesting. I was just chatting with another friend of mine in our Nanaimo office, who I'm hoping to have on here in a few weeks, is talking about that transition as an industry from a sales industry to a service industry. And where are the lines between that? Because, you know, I think by and large, the vast majority of people who get into this business because they want to help people. But at the same time, if you like food with your meals, you have to help people buy homes. And so that, you know, you're in a bit of a conflict when you're giving real estate advice. I mean, that cuts to the heart of agency is being able to be that fiduciary, give advice that is in their best interest, not necessarily yours. But it is it's a tough line to walk at times. Would you agree?
I absolutely do. And I mean, let's face it, the consumer comes first, right?
Yeah,
like the consumer deserves service. They deserve competency. They deserve our skill set. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I would say the sales end of our industry has really overweighed that a lot. You know, I mean, let's face it. When that whole commission conversation comes up, you know, the majority of the time when a consumer says, you know, I want this house, how much are you going to give me? That to me is a signal of a lack of perceived value with that particular agent.
Right. Well, and let's work our way towards that as a conversation point. I first want to go through the buyer process with you because, you know, one of the things that really impressed me when I first saw one of your presentations was the book. At that time, I think it was a big black book with lots of pages and graphs and things in it. And that was your buyer presentation. And you actually were the first person to introduce the idea of a buyer consultation to me. You know, sitting down with someone before you get them out in your car and, you know, spend hours with them and showing them properties. For those who haven't seen that presentation, can you give us sort of the highlights of what's that buyer journey from the call to the keys, you know, some of the steps along the way?
Okay. So let's just start this section by saying we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the buyer. Right, because we do this every day. We drive people around. We know how to do MLS searches. We know how to make appointments. We know how to do touch base. We know how to, you know, all that kind of stuff. Consumers know nothing. All they know is they want to buy a house, right? So all it really took for us was to put ourselves in the buyer's shoes and say, what are the stress points? What are the things that a buyer needs to know in order to have a successful and a good experience in their buying journey, right? And that caused us to create this binder. I don't have one with me here now, unfortunately.
That's
I have
okay.
a binder.
We'll use your imagination.
Yeah. So basically we put together a binder that talks about, we have a flow chart. We explain to a buyer start to finish. You know, we start doing searches, we do viewings, we make appointments, we make offers, what the offer process is, due diligence, unconditional keys, all that kind of stuff. We have tips on trades, because of course we should be suggesting at least three trades for each for our buyers, right? Mm-hmm. We give them information about their move, you know, tips on moving. You know, we give them a checklist when it comes time for them to move. People forget about that. If they haven't moved for 5 years or 40 years, they forget that they've got to transfer their doctor's, you know, address for their doctors. They got to transfer all this kind of stuff. So we help them out in that area.
This is all before they get in the car.
Yes. Now, I say that with hesitation because it depends on the consumer and it depends on how you met them, right?
And I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think, you know, adaptability, there's this middle ground that exists between having a process, because professionals have a process-driven business, but also being adaptable, because you can't put everyone in the same box either. So, you know, if we could, you know, short of role-playing, walk through that scenario of, you get a call from a buyer and, hey, Tony, I'm standing outside your listing. I just want to see it. And of course, I'm sure you've trained your team to say, well, let's get into the office. Let's do this and that. But they're very, very reluctant. They just want to see the home. Show me the darn home already. Yeah. I mean, how do you handle that? How do you win the battle without losing the war?
Okay. So the first question is always, who's your realtor?
Right.
Right. Okay, and I have to say, I say this all the time, there is a difference between, are you working with a realtor and who's your realtor?
How so?
Well, I mean, when you go into a store and, you know, you're looking for a pair of shoes, what does the clerk come up and say to you?
Can I help you with anything?
And what's your answer?
No, just looking.
Yeah, see, we have a stock answer, right? Yeah. So when somebody says, are you working with a realtor, whether you are or you're not, I mean, you're going to find consumers are like, no. Especially if they just want to see the house.
No, right? Just looking.
Yes. Right. So I submit that we have to ask. I used to be really hardcore about this. I would ask three times.
Right? Really? Wow.
Yes. And the reason for that is, well, there's a few things. I mean, we tell our sellers that we will only allow qualified buyers into their homes. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
And yet, on the other hand, you know, licensees are willing to, what we call pop up, you know, a pop up realtor, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, Braden, let me jump off of this webcam, this Facebook Live I'm doing right now, because I got to go show a property. Right?
Pop. I think I've also heard Pop Tart Realtor.
Pop Tart Realtor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Right. So,
by the way, if you were a Pop Tart Realtor, what flavor would you be?
I would be chow mein. With a little bit of sweet and sour sauce on the end.
That is terrible. Okay, sorry, continue.
Yeah. Okay, so we're telling our sellers that we're going to only show their house to qualified buyers, and yet we are willing to pop up and show them a property without qualifications, not the least of which is asking if they have a realtor. Because I have to say, if I was to guess, I would say 60 or 70% of the times, if you ask them the right way or ask them enough, they're going to say, oh, yeah, Bob Smith is my realtor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, so, and especially how you ask it.
Yeah. So to me right now, what is the point of me trying to get this person into a buyer agency interview and try to convert them if they belong to another realtor?
Yeah. Well, I guess it goes right back to the heart of the sales versus service mindset. If you're sales, you're thinking lead generation, and I got to jump on that and as many opportunities as I can, whereas you're thinking service, it probably brings you to a different mode of operating.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So going back, because we're talking about dialogue here. Somebody calls up, they want to see the property. You know, they get through our hurdles, which are they don't have a realtor, they like to see the property. You know, the other questions you're going to ask too are your qualifying questions. You know, is this the price point you're looking at? Have you gone to the bank? You know, if they pass all of those things, then yes, we will show the property to them, right? But we have to be very careful, because at the point of showing the home, we've got to let them know. So dialogue that I've used recently is, well, listen, you know that if I show you the house, I work for the seller.
Right.
Right. Unless or until you're a client of mine, you got to know that anything you say can be used against you.
What's the response been to that line?
Generally speaking, especially if somebody just wants to see the house, they're like, oh yeah, we get it. You know, we don't care.
Right. Yeah. We don't care about agency.
Yeah, but I have to say, in those cases when people say that, the actual percentage of that turning into sale is pretty slim.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, let's face it, sometimes there are just people that want to look at a house, right?
Absolutely. Looking, yeah. Getting decorating ideas or what have you. So that's obviously one of the more challenging situations when you get essentially a stranger reaches out and you're right. It's like, I want to get in the house, just let me show. And you have to make that judgment call. You work them through your process, asking a few qualifying questions. Now I imagine it's a much gentler, smoother, proposition. If you get a call from a past client or perhaps a referral, like what would your process be if you get the, hey Tony, your name was given to us by, you know, Angie and Kyle, and they said, you're a great guy. Can you go show us the same house? What would that look like?
Okay. Like you said, that is much easier. So if it's a referral, past customer, even someone that you've already spent some time with, it's much easier to say, hey, let's get together, come to the office before we go and have a look at the house. I have some materials to go through with you. Not the least of which is, information on the buying process. If we get a little bit of resistance, we're like, it's 15 minutes, you know, it's 15 or 20 minutes. I got to tell you, our closing ratio when we go through the buyer binder is 100%.
Right.
Yeah. People sign up. There is one other thing too. You know, we talked about implied agency a couple minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Something that all licensees should know, or at least get their hands on through the licensee practice manual. I mean, we all look at that regularly, don't we?
Yeah. What did you call it again?
just go to our manual. There is a chart there that outlines the differences between customer and client. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I do.
Yeah. I will say to anyone that it is that chart is really the thing that will cause a standard consumer to realize why they need to sign up with a buyer agent.
And okay, so paint us a picture then. What is it about that particular document that's so compelling?
Because it compares. It has the comparison between, if you're a client, I have a mandate to serve for you, whereas if you're a customer, I don't. If you're a client, I am obligated to let you know the other party's upper or higher limits, but with a customer, I don't. With a client, you know, it's amazing. So council has given us this document, and we never use it. And I say that's a document that we can share with consumers, because basically it's our, you know, it's the law, right?
And it's, which job description do you want me to be held to?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But actually more specifically, because, you know, my message always with buyer agency is, what's in it for me, as in what's in it for the consumer.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Why should the consumer sign it, right?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
When a consumer reads the chart, it's general obligations. You'll find it in the manual, general obligations under agency. When they read the chart, they're going to say, why would I ever want to be unrepresented? Like, there's no benefit, right?
And so that form, I imagine, would be either in addition to the buyer's binder that you have, or maybe the last sheet, because one of the things we want to focus on here is the exclusive buyers. Yeah.
I got the CNN moment happening here.
Uh-oh. What's happening?
Yes. Bye.
Oh, that's okay. We can work with it.
No. Bye. 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 Okay. Sorry. Well, this is live, right?
This is live. This is what happens. It's part of the fun. It's part of the thrill. So, no, not at all. No, this is awesome. So what I was just about to ask you was, talking about the difference between I guess they're now, it's no longer a customer, it's unrepresented third party. And that form, is that something that's actually, like, is that the showstopper last page in that buyer process? Because we're about to segue into the topic of exclusive buyer's agency agreements here in a second. It seems like you go through, you give value, you know, here's the process. Here are the different contractors. You know, here's what a contract looks like. You're giving all this great information, all this great value. Then you show them that one form of, here's what I can do for you as your agent. Yeah. Here's what I can do for you as an unrepresented third party, which isn't a lot. Is that part of the process transitioning into how you get exclusive buyer's agency signed?
Yeah, so actually, I suggest that people actually go through the general obligations at the earliest convenience. And you know, you generally get to read the consumer. Like, you know, you'll get the sense of their temperament as far as this information is concerned, right? But really, you know, the whole idea to why would a consumer want to be just a unrepresented third party? There is no reason now, right? I mean, the reason before used to be, well, because maybe I can save money on commission, right? And I think this is probably the biggest message that I want to leave you and anyone else who's watching this right now is that the new council rules actually give us as licensees the perfect reason why we should strengthen up our buyer agency skills and why we should get really good at being able to explain the buyer agency contract as a benefit to consumers, because consumers have been watching this in the news. They are very interested in this whole deletion of limited dual agency. Consumers that I've talked to all believe that as of June 15th, there is no reason to go to the listing agent anymore. Right. And if that is the case, then they're going to start seeking people that will represent them, and you have to be ready to do that.
Absolutely. So if you were, you know, say in the coach's position and you're working with either a brand new agent or someone who's, you know, maybe a few years in the business and they haven't really taken the whole buyer side of the process as seriously as putting together some materials and a presentation, like what would the first couple steps be as far as sharpening the axe on becoming a professional, excellent buyer's agent?
Well, it's gonna require, first of all, I mean, the job of actually being a buyer agent, let's just assume that everyone is skilled at that. Like, we know what our obligations are, taking care of a buyer and taking care of the process. I would suggest that you sit down and lay out, you know, on paper even, exactly what the process is for a consumer and devise or develop ways for you to have a dialogue, basically a pitch at each of those steps, right?
And you mentioned earlier when you were building yours that you identified some stress points. Could you give us a couple nuggets there as far as like what stress points do you think, you know, here's one point, second point, and you could build your presentation around that?
Oh, it's easy. For instance, I mean, a quick one is buyers always want, they're like, how do I get my keys on closing date?
Right.
How often do we actually talk to people about this?
Yeah.
Right?
On the closing date.
on closing. So you know what? That's an area of stress they don't know. You know, the next one is when they have to have their deposit money ready.
Right. When and they what should, form it has to come in.
Exactly, right? What does a financing pre-approval look like? You know, they're stressed about who am I going to call for a building inspection? All the areas that we know, but we just take for granted because we do it every day, right?
And it sounds to me like a lot of this stuff, you just collect these as you go about your day-to-day business. So, you know, take some of this content, build your beginning presentation. But as you're out there over the next 6-12 months as an agent showing homes, you're going to get questions that come up. And if you hear the same question asked, you know, twice in the same week or something like that, you know that this is something you could pre-answer by having a great presentation.
You know, it's not rocket science. You know, whether you've been in for 27 years or for 7 months, there's not that many questions from buyers, right? There's not that many questions from sellers. So it makes sense for us to actually master them. And actually, we can foresee what a consumer is concerned about just simply by paying attention to the process, right?
Right. And that's the next level of service is when we don't just react, we can actually anticipate the needs of our clients.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Well, Tony, I really appreciate your time. I know you've got another 30 for 30 community video to shoot here momentarily. Now, this is really just the tip of the iceberg. Like, you have a lot of content you go through. When is your next buyer's agency course if someone wanted to do a deep dive into this content?
It is in Victoria on May 31st. And again, that's 3 PDP credits. I generally do them both in Victoria and Vancouver Island every 3 or 4 months.
Okay, fantastic. So for anyone who's looking to really get that process, what would someone expect to see in that they would get beyond this, you know, 25-minute conversation? It would be a pretty thorough analysis, I bet.
Okay, so I go through the philosophy. I go through why we should do this. I go through the what's in it for consumers. I talk about, we do dialogue, right? We talk about the getting people into the office. So it's this Floyd Wickman CETO, right? the conversion stuff. And then I go through the actual presentation of the thing of value, which is our buyer binder, right? And I share the contents of that with everyone. In fact, anyone who's watching this right now, if you want a list of suggested items to put in your buyer package, you just let me know because I'd be happy to send that to you. There's 14 or 15 items there, right? One thing that I will say is I get asked all the time, can I have a copy of your binder?
Right.
And first of all, I'm a little reluctant to do that within my own market area, Victoria, for, you know.
What?
but secondly, I always say you need to own it. So if you're doing your presentation, you're doing a binder, you need to go through the process. There's no shortcut here. You got to develop it yourself and master itself because that's what really makes it separates you from everyone else, right?
Absolutely. Well, I really do appreciate you sharing some of your insights with us, considering a large part of our audience is here in Victoria. I know they do appreciate it. So thank you for that. Thank you for everything you do. I just want to say have a great rest of your day and good luck with your community video. Where is it, this one?
This one is a design studio out by Mayfair Mall. But hey, listen, but before we leave, I do want to leave off with one last thing.
Sure.
Right. I have been espousing the virtues of buyer agency. I've been doing it since 2007, right? And I've been teaching it for BCRAA and for boards since 2012. Why do I do that? It's because I truly, firmly believe that this is the way our industry is going. I think that consumers will see that we bring a lot of value to the table as a dedicated buyer agent and not just a maybe agent, right? And I have to say that it makes the difference between whether you are a part-time somebody who just wants to maybe sell a house every once in a while or are a true professional who really has the needs and requirements of the consumer at heart. So this is the reason why I do it. I wish that more people would. All of the new licensees that get licensed have no issue with this. It's the old timers who've been around for 15, 20 years that take on the position of, you know what, I've been doing it for years without, you know, I don't need to do it. So just do it. Do it. I'd be happy to talk to anybody who wants to.
Just do it. That's a great catchphrase. Yeah. I don't think it's taken.
I've never heard that before.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Tony. I really appreciate your time and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
All right, guys, there you go. Tony Joe from RE/MAX Camosun in Oak Bay sharing all of his insights and wisdom on all things buyer's agency and exclusive buyer's agency. If you haven't had a chance to take one of Tony's courses, I highly recommend it. And as he said, you do earn PDP credits, which is something we all need. So take the opportunity to drop into one of his buyer's agency courses. He's got one, I believe he said May 31st in Victoria. So check that out. And over the next couple of weeks, just so you know, what I'm working on bringing is a few more guests just to talk more about the buyer side of the business. Because I agree with Tony, with these changes that are being passed down through the superintendent and through council, this is an incredible opportunity to raise the bar of the buyer's agency side of the business. I know many of you do an excellent job already. This is just a great piece because Tony mentioned our clients are seeing this in the news. So if there's ever a time to strike when the iron's hot, this is it. So work on those buyer presentations, work on your process, and I look forward to seeing you guys online next week. All right, everyone. Bye for now.